We're doing a study on the Ten Commandments. You say, well, why is that important? We're under grace. We're not under the law. Well, I'll tell you why it's important. Because with the law is the knowledge of sin. And God reveals himself to us through his holy law. If you remember, Jesus didn't say he was the end of the law. He said the law is holy, good, and pure. He said, I am the end of the law. Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness. It just means that we no longer get our righteousness from the law. Law is still good and pure and holy. And it becomes our schoolmaster. And I'm looking around these flags this morning for our service. So it becomes our schoolmaster. When I was a boy, those Sunday school teachers would teach those Ten Commandments. Here we do it about every two or three years. Just to get grounded. It kind of tells you where God is. And as a boy, I'd see those commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt... Man, I started taking a second look at myself. Some of those shout nots I had done. And God began to reveal his holiness. And as he did that, I began to see myself in relationship to God's holiness. And found that I was lacking. I was wanting when it comes to the righteousness that God demands for fellowship. And that law of God became a schoolmaster. And it pointed me toward Christ. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So that's what it did for me. I saw how the goodness of God, and I repented of what I was. Say, well, do you repent of what you've done? Yeah, you do that, but there comes a point you repent for what you are. Because you know what you're capable of. And in fact, the Bible says that God knoweth our frame and remembers that we are dust. We're a mess. Once a man agrees with God that he's a mess, he's got a chance of getting saved. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all gone out of the way. We've all become as an unclean thing. Our iniquities have taken us away. We're a mess. And once we agree with God that we are a mess, then God can deal with us. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But here we're getting into the finishing up, actually, where I think on the ninth commandment today. But if you think back over the years, one of the main battlefronts for the devil is to eliminate the Ten Commandments. He's eliminated them from the public schools. He's eliminated them from the public forum. See, the devil is not omnipresent. That means that he is not everywhere all the time like God is. He don't have that attribute. So the devil works collectively. He through large campaigns. He works through the media. Anywhere where he can capture a large audience. He works through those things. And so now he's removed the commandments. He has all the groups that stand up for him whenever anyone wants to say a prayer anywhere. What I read last night about an anti-Christian group, an atheist anti-God group. And man, they're everywhere. And that's how the devil works. He wants to eliminate. One of the first things he eliminated, tried to eliminate, is the Ten Commandments. Because he does not want you to know where the line is drawn with a holy God. So that's why we teach the commandments. I'm in Exodus chapter 20. And the Bible says in verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. The seventh day rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpets and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And I stand corrected, we're going to be on the eighth commandment this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today and thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your grace, your good hand upon this church, Lord, and upon your people, Lord. Hold me up by the power of your might today, Lord, and fill me with the unction to preach, and let this place feel the presence of the Holy Ghost of God today, Lord, and help me as I bring the word and minister to your people. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. All right, thou shalt not steal. My. I've many times, especially with our addictions program, we try to help folks to get a job. And I counsel them, if they're going to get a job, I say you tell them two things. If you're walking in a place and you're looking for a job, first of all, you tell them two things. You tell them, I will be here every day. And secondly, you tell them, I won't steal from you. If you tell them that, there's a good chance you might get a job. Because that's the two things that they look out for. They don't want somebody calling off every one day a week. They want you to be there. They need to have you there. And they don't want you robbing them blind. So that's Exodus 20:15. And the Lord commands us to love our neighbor as ourself. You know, if you love your neighbor, you won't steal from him. You know, if you love your neighbor, there's a lot, most of these commandments, usually you won't mess with them if you love your neighbor as you do yourself. If you love your neighbor, you won't steal from him, you won't mess with his wife, you won't lie to him. Leviticus 19:13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor. Means you don't take him on a car deal. Neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. 1 Thessalonians 4:6 says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. That's stealing. You defraud him, you've stolen from him. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. My. Leviticus 19:36, just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. In most counties around this nation, there's normally someone, I know it is on the state level, in charge of a thing called weights, the division or department of weights and management. Weights and balances, is weights and balances, is that right? And they'll go like to the gasoline pumps, and they'll check to make sure when it's a gallon, it's actually a gallon. They'll take a gallon jug with them and run a gallon of gas in there, and sometimes they'll find you're not really getting a gallon, and they're ripping you off. If they can give you 9/10 of a gallon, you just got robbed or stolen from on that gas. They do it in grocery stores, at the meat counters, where you'll buy a pound of bologna. Any road musician knows about bologna. If it hadn't been for bologna, we'd have had a tough time over the years. But they want to make sure that you're not getting stolen from. A just balance, a just weight. That's what the Lord wants to see. He don't want you ripping anybody off. Leviticus 19:36, just balances, just weights. A just ephod, a just hin. Those are all measurements. Shall you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy 25:15. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. My, my, my. In Proverbs 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Man, you give somebody what to pay for. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. All right, there's a lot of different kinds of stealing. Leviticus 19:11, you shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Bible says if you borrow something, you need to take it back. Jeff, do you still have that one weed eater of mine? I live in a neighborhood where we're all family, Brother Jim. And when we need something, we got to go check each other's garages. And anybody like, but because if I need something and I can't find, I go and I get the first one I come to of one of my nephews right down the road. We're all in the same neighborhood, like a little ghetto out there that all the Holtz and Hounces live in. And a few fellers. All right. Am I hitting some nerves here on that? Hey, I'll just give you Bible. You do with it what you want to. Now, Psalms 37:21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. But the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Well, you folks didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? All right. If I can get a page turned, it's harder to deal with a Band-Aid on yourself. Turn this page. Matthew 5:42 says, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Uh-oh. Man, we're not very far into this, and most of us are in trouble already. We're a mess. Most of us in trouble already. Wow. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. I remember being up at Jack Grigsby. My former pastor has been dead several years. Pastor of Berean Baptist Church. He had the Bible Institute there at Berean Baptist that I went to. And I was over at his house one day, and he showed me around stuff that he had. He said, if you need it, take it with you. If you need it, take it. Just like that. How many people like that? How do you need it? Take it. That was Brother Jack. But there's a lot of ways that you can steal. You can steal the hearts of men for your own purpose. You can connive and take from somebody something that you shouldn't have taken. Remember Absalom? In the Bible, 2 Samuel 15:6, it says, and on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Absalom worked behind the back of the king to try to get everybody to like him better than they liked the king. Who'd have thought of something like that? Absalom did. He knew what he was doing. Bible says that he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. How about holding things back from God? Is that stealing? Now the context here is giving, and I'm not going to put you under the Jewish law here, but here's what it was to the Jew. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Wow. I'd hate to be under that Old Testament law today. Thank God for His grace. And I mentioned to the church the other day, sometimes God will whip you. And I've been whipped by God. I remember there's a little period of time I went through, I wasn't given anything to the church, wasn't given. And man, it seemed like that next week when I'd made up my mind I wasn't going to give what I'd been given, the washing machine quit, the refrigerator quit. Man, about 4 appliances cost me about $2,000. And I finally said, I get it, God, I hear you. Hey, I'm a child of God. I'm supposed to act differently. I'm supposed to do things differently. Wow. But I don't want to put you under the law with a tithe, but how about Abraham? Let's look at Abraham before the law. I won't put you under the law. Let's look before the law. Hebrews 7:1, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Wow, that is before the law. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible says, let every man give of such things as he has. He don't want what you don't have. He just wants what you got. And not all of it. He wants to. But he gives the example of a tenth. He gave it before the law and under the law. What you give is your business. I don't have a clue what people in this church give, Brother Jim. I never look through the stuff. I don't want to know. Never look through the checks. Don't want to be biased by what somebody gives or what they don't give. Okay, what's the results of stealing? Oh, a thief puts himself in the position of being an outcast of society. A lot of your friends will drop you like a bad habit if you steal from them. They don't want you around. Folks don't want you in their house. Not a lot of people have any real respect for a thief. They overlook a lot of things. If a thief is respected, the respect is stolen, and it'll be short-lived, according to Zechariah 5:3. Zechariah 5:3 says, then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth, for that everyone that stealeth shall be cut off, as on this side, according to it. Wow. Man, that's tough. These commandments are tough. They're really tough. But that's where God is. You want to be Christ-like? You need to pay attention. I know you're under grace. Thank God that you're under grace. How do you avoid it? Well, you know, every time God asks you to give up a bad habit, He replaces it. Gives you something to replace it with. You remember there where the Lord said, be not drunken with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. He'll give you something to replace a sinful habit with. So here in Ephesians 4:28, the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. But then He gives you an alternative. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. My, my, my. Be content with the estate God has given you. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Watch it and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a tough commandment. Most of them are tough. Exodus 22:2. If the thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. Man, that's tough. People going to home invasions, robbing somebody's home. Man, you're asking someone to, you're asking to get shot. You go steal them from a man, he's home. And it happens every day. It happens every day. God's against it. It's a sin. Exodus 22:7, if a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. Wow. Proverbs 6:30, men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. I remember one time, caught a burglar. Alarm went off. I was in Miami, Florida. We set up a perimeter, and the guys had broken into a little corner store. And he came out and he said, "Man, I'm just buying to feed my family. I'm just buying for my family. I'm hungry. My kids, children are hungry." And I looked what he'd sold. He'd sold about 40 cartons of cigarettes. The only thing he sold. Stole. So, you know, what's that about? Oh, well. Proverbs 29:24. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. Wow. That's pretty tough. Let me look at in John 10, the Lord called anyone a thief who was trying to get to heaven anyway except through Christ. The Lord referred to them as a robber and a thief. John 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Jesus said, I am the door. He's the way, he's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So any man trying to get there through some oddball thing that he's come up with to get into heaven is a thief. The Lord said that Judas was a thief. John 12:4. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's sons, which should betray him. You remember when they poured the ointment, anointed the Lord with that expensive ointment? And this is Judas. Judas saw it. And man, he got all irate over it. He said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And had the bag and bear what was put therein. I wonder how much he embezzled from the Lord's ministry. I'd say quite a bit. Quite a bit. Judas, man, can you imagine somebody, man, he ate with the Lord, camped out with the Lord, prayed, probably asked to be called on for prayer, for this and that. And all the times in the back of his mind, he is a thief and a sneak and looking to betray the Lord. Man, that's tough. Lord, talking about my familiar friend. All right, Exodus 22:1. If a man steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. Wow. You caught stealing a cow, you better have 5. 5 to give back. Man, that'd hurt. You didn't want to get caught. The Lord told Jeremiah that he was against them that stole his words. Well, that's an interesting thought. Jeremiah 23:30, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Steal my words. You know, the first thing that a new Bible version will do, it will remove, it'll take from the word. Some folks have, some of those scholars have done collations and told you how many thousands and thousands of words and verses are missing from the majority of the new versions. And if you look behind the motive, you'll kind of figure out why they do it is because under U.S. copyright law, in order to copyright a work, you must make significant changes. Someone here one time mentioned, knew the copyright law and said it's so many thousand, like 7,000, I forget how many. But significant changes. So, and you want to copyright so you can make money off of it. If you can't copyright it, you can't make a dime off of it. But if you can go in there and change it, you go, look at a Greek lexicon where there's about 15 or 20 words, a similar word to that, you'll pick one out that nobody else has used and you can make money off that Bible. That's a thief. Stealing the words of God. Lord's tough on that crowd. Tells them not to take from or add to. Behold, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. These folks who keep removing all the words and verses and all these versions, man. A fellow told his wife, said, if a man steals, he'll regret it the rest of his life. And the wife said, well, how about those kisses you used to steal before we got married? He said, you heard what I said. Yeah. So. Oh, well. And musicians are a tough lot, you know. Not every musician just sings gospel music. You know, when I was in college, I worked where I could work playing music. The first job I got was in the Disabled American Veterans Lounge. 6 nights a week from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. in the morning. And I knew every country song, I think, that I've ever written. I also did a single at the Black Angus Steakhouse in Hialeah. And I kind of brought that up that in a lot of those places I used to work, Brother Jim, a man wouldn't ask you what time it was. He'd just steal your watch. You know, that's how folks do. Oh, well, none of you folks know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And some of those clubs were rough too, you know. Just like down in the hills, you've sang down in the hills, you'll see some of those folks, man, you wonder where that guy came from. A lot of those men down in the hills, any kid with any man with both ears was considered a sissy in a lot of those places. Let me move on here. Fellow was walking down a dark street one night when a man walked up to him and said, sir, could you spare me the price of a meal? I have no job, no home, no clothes. The only thing that I have in the world is this knife. Few folks got that. Few folks picked it. This is kind of a slow crowd, but once they kind of get into it, they get better. Uncle Billy, somebody just stole your truck. Well, what did he look like? I don't know, but I got the license plate. You know, thou shalt not steal. It's one of the commandments of God. You should be known as a Christian for your honesty. Honesty in your dealings. You got to deal fairly with people. And that's, I think you'll hear, over the years, I've heard a lot of criticism over church members who are not fair in their dealings. I've heard people talk about somebody in the church that had really taken them on a car deal, lied about what the car was and what it wasn't. You got to look out for that stuff. You got to be fair. God don't want you to lie to anybody. And I found out a lot of folks, they just like to tell you what they think you want to hear. The truth sometimes is difficult. But nobody likes or respects a thief. And the commandment says, thou shalt not steal. It's important. If there's 10 commandments and it's one of the 10, then God put some pretty big emphasis on it, you know. So that's a commandment. That's why we study the 10 commandments. Next week is a cousin to it, akin to it, and some of that we talked about today, about bearing false witness. And that commandment of bearing false witness, with the possible exception of the 10th one, is probably the most violated in the entire list. And God takes a position that all men are liars. Isn't that something? The Bible says all men are liars. Man, you tell that to the congregation, man, most folks are going to resent that. You just call me a liar. I'm not calling you anything. I'm saying the Bible says that all men are liars. Brother Jim, one day I quoted that verse, and man, I was getting the worst looks you ever saw. And I said, well, if you doubt that verse, I want all you women to take out your driver's license. Tell me what you put listed as your weight on your driver's license. And you men, how tall did you say that you were on your driver's license? Man, it can, the rubber hits the road pretty quick when you get down to that nitty gritty stuff. You're 6'4"? Yeah, all right. Round. No. One time Jeff asked me to go online and get a fishing license for him. We're going fishing or hunt. Was it hunting or fishing? We get both and we get them. I think we're going squirrel hunting. And I got his license. And he never thought nothing about it. And we're out one day and he got to looking at his license, and I'd listed his weight as 300 pounds on his license. He didn't think it as funny as the rest of us did. We thought it was hilarious. So, all right, we'll look at that commandment next week. We're going to quit here a little bit earlier, and we got a lot of things going on this morning. Now this crowd's getting rowdy. I better be quitting pretty quick. And I got to set him up for Jim. He's a mess. He's going to rock it this morning for the glory of God. That's what we do. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We're thankful for your mercy. And thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for all those who have come out today as we honor the veterans, all those who have served and worn the uniform of our country, Lord. We're thankful for them, Lord, and we ask that you bless the service. Bless all the veterans today, Lord, and hold them up by the power of your might, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.